Soccer Show. John Hayes, Danny Brams, what's going on, everybody? Good to see you on what is for us during this taping a Friday morning. Happy weekend. Danny, it's good to see you. And I'm excited to answer some TIFO's questions, and I'm excited to say that this is episode number 200. Danny, congratulations on episode number 200, and we're going to celebrate today by answering questions from our tremendous friends of the show. Danny Brams, how do you feel about the TIFOs on this Friday, beautiful morning in the Queen City?
I'm in love with the TIFOs. I'm in love with the TIFOs. Yeah. It's Valentine's Day, Johnny. We are celebrating love. We're celebrating 200 episodes. You know, people can say what they want about arbitrary milestones, but 200 episodes of this show, doing it with you, has been quite a run, and we're on a great run, and the run continues. It's just, you know, 201 is right around the corner, so we're not stopping, we're not slowing down, but we are taking just a moment to recognize a lot of the fun that we've had over the last 4 years, and we're going to do that in a way that on this Valentine's Day recording celebrates the love and the community that's built around this club and this show and the tremendous friends of the show, and can't really say much more than life is beautiful, Johnny. Great to see you. Great to be talking to you, and great to be celebrating the return of Charlotte FC.
Well, one thing I can say, though, is I'm not going to promise that my answers are going to be all about love. You know, I'm happy to answer the questions, but I don't know how nice it's going to be. No, but seriously, I don't think, like, today for me isn't about like my answers more than anything, or your answers. I'm happy to answer all these questions. I specifically put out on X. I said, you know, what are your biggest questions heading into the season? And I asked it that way specifically because I didn't want to come on today and play this know-it-all about Charlotte FC that I could answer all the TIFO's questions. I really just wanted to know what they were thinking about. And I want to contribute to the conversation. But I do have some answers, though. There's no doubt about it.
I got to just, you know, to give away a little bit, peel back the curtain Wizard of Oz style for a moment. Just in the pre-recording as we were getting ready to do this, I was saying, you know, I don't know about this one question. You're like, I can answer any question. I can answer any question that's asked. I can answer. So, you know, yeah. Go
for it. There's nothing that's out of bounds on this episode.
Definitely not.
So with that, before we get into the questions, I think I just wanted to do an update as far as where we are. It's I mentioned that it's Friday. It's February 14th, Valentine's Day. You said that, Danny. At this point, we're looking at less than 2 weeks until the opening match of the season in Seattle, and that to me is absolutely insane, right?
I mean, if I'm not mistaken, if I can count, you know, I'll throw a little Beatles reference in here. 8 days a week. I think we're 8 days away from the season opener, if I'm not mistaken. So wild stuff.
It came quick. The season is here, Danny Brams. And I personally, for me, when I'm thinking about the kickoff to this season, Seattle, I mean, you might as well hop on, you know, Falcon Heavy and head to Mars. I mean, Seattle's so far away from me. All I'm thinking about is, Danny, like this March 1st game against Atlanta. I got to be honest with you. Like, I'm going to start there. Do I want to go to Seattle? Do I want to beat Seattle? Yeah, but truthfully, if we lose 5-0 in that match and then come back and beat Atlanta, like, I'm happy as a clam.
It'll be like it never happened to you. Like, you'll be like, oh, we lost to Seattle. Great. Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Right? So, I think this is such a unique start to the season because of that. I love the way this schedule is. Heading out to Seattle and trying to get this win. And the really nice thing about going to Seattle is it's such a tough road opener to start the season. The expectations for me are, you know, let's go get a draw. Let's go get a point. Let's go start off this season right. Let's get rolling. It's tough to win on the road, especially in Seattle. A long trip for this team. A team that's been to Miami, a team that's now been out to Coachella, Wilfried Zaha, who's been back and forth from Europe, now all the way out to Los Angeles. There's been a lot of moving parts. I'm excited to get things rolling, Danny. Is that fair, like a point in Seattle, then come back and beat Atlanta is a really nice start to the season?
That's would be a tremendous start to the season. I think that's more than fair. I think that is desirable for sure. I mean, the idea that we're going to get six, I think, would be a dream scenario. So to get four out of the first two matches would be pretty nice. Because the schedule is not easy. I mean, as soon as we play Atlanta, you know, we play a Western Conference finalist, Seattle, first, an Eastern Conference finalist, Atlanta, next, the GOAT and all his little merry men, third, Inter Miami. Cincinnati, who just brought in Evander, they just traded one stud DP number 10 for another, sending Lucho Acosta out, bringing Evander in. And so it's the first four matches are no freaking joke before we finally get that that home match against San Jose late in March that will kind of be like a chance to like play a team that was not very good last year. So I don't know, man, to get 4 points out of the first four, to get 8 points out of the first, or to get 4 points out of the first two, to get 8 points out of the first four, I think would be real nice.
When you mention GOAT, I can't help but to think about this, well, right?
Sarcastically, yeah.
Yeah, but at this point, Danny, you know, he might as well be Dr. Dillamond from
Yeah, exactly. exactly. Oh, my gosh. Great pop culture reference to one of the movies of the summer, Johnny. It's like yeah. Or of the winter, excuse me. It's like you're just picking up right where we left off. By the way, shout out Summit Coffee. I've got two coffee. I'm double fisting coffee. One hot because it's really cold outside, and one iced because I love.
Oh my goodness, that is that's an interesting strategy. Can't say I've ever done it. I've got a nice English breakfast tea here this morning.
Style, yeah.
So without further ado, Danny, let's get into it. Look, you know, Westy's here with us as well. The captain, he's going to be asked questions this season for sure. Hopefully by us at some point. I know he will be asked questions from you, Danny, on these press conferences. No doubt about that. Which, by the way, you spoke to Dean recently on a press conference. So everybody's being asked questions this time of year, including us.
Yeah, questions. I got some questions, man. Like Jack Johnson saying, questions. I got some questions I want to know. Yep, and that's what we're here for sure.
So where are we going to start, and who are we going to start with today?
All right, let's start off. Here's what I'm going to do, Johnny. I have in the normal TIFO's questions format episode that we do is that you pop the questions at me sight unseen. And this is a little different because it's our 200th episode TIFO's Questions Bonanza Valentine's Day special extravaganza.
I am starting to feel the love.
I will win you over. I don't go away. If I lock in, I'm sticking with it, and I'm sticking with you, John. I will make you fall in love with me and the TIFOs by the end of this thing. But just to explain, the slight difference in this format is that I went through all these questions myself beforehand on various platforms that we'll scroll through, and because I wanted to prepare some graphics, and I've got these in an order of a way to do. So it's a little less random than we usually do a TIFO's questions episode, because the TIFOs deserve it. You know, that to make them feel our love, that's what we're going to do for them, is we're going to pay a little bit closer attention this time. So I've prepped some graphics. I've created a sequence. And we're going to start with a couple kickabouts. We're not going to get to the very big questions right away. We got a couple kickabouts for you. And so let me pop this one at you. Let me pop this one at you. Just a little drill here. Will we see Jamie Smith play in the Open Cup? It's a great question from Joe Doak over on our Blue Sky page. Doak, I love the question. It's amazing. Johnny, what do you think?
This is an underreported story this offseason, for sure. We haven't really talked about it on the show, and leave it to Joseph. Joe, one of the best TIFOs out there. What a great TIFOs. Excited to meet up with you this year and talk Charlotte FC. Hope to see you at Hot Flyer in and around the stadium. Would be phenomenal. But Jamie Smith is within the Charlotte FC organization. Is he on Crown Legacy? Is he on Charlotte FC? I think we're going to figure that out over the next couple of months, and I think we all know the answer to that. But will he play in the Open Cup? I think he should. Yeah. Absolutely think he should. Mm-hmm. And it would be phenomenal to see Dean Smith manage his son in the 100%. United States Open Cup.
Yeah, I mean, a nickname for Jamie kind of popped into my head. As he's now a member on Crown Legacy, you know, and he's clearly just, you know, no slight to him. There's nothing wrong with getting older, but he's like the oldest guy on Crown Legacy, probably, definitely. So I want to call him the senior statesman. He's the senior statesman of Crown Legacy. He's there to sort of set the tone in the locker room, show the young guys on Crown Legacy how to be a professional, things like that. Bring an aura, some gravitas to the next pro situation that's going on. I love the fact that he's involved in Charlotte FC organization. I know he's probably going to be building towards an eventual managing career as he advances through his playing days to follow in his father's footsteps there. He's got some licenses in the fire, in irons in the fire and whatnot. So I think the senior statesman 100% should play in the Open Cup, just like you said. What a storyline. Cup nights with the gaffer managing his own son. What could be better? I'd pay to see it. I'd pay to see it for sure.
He's a good player. He played at American Legion Memorial Stadium last season. Mm-hmm. What's the Greenville team?
Greenville Triumph, right?
Yeah, the Triumph. That's right. We went down to the Triumph.
We were there. We've been in their home stadium
Speaking of the Open Cup, we have literally been at the Greenville Triumph to watch Charlotte FC versus.
That was a great road trip.
Greenville in the Open Cup. That was one of the first road trips we've done and the Charlotte FC fans got to do. And I think that's why a match like that is why I think people got upset that Charlotte FC wasn't competing in the Open Cup last season. But good news, they're back this season.
We back. All right. So question number two, another kickabout. But is Bender recovered from last year's injury? Do you think he'll have much of a role in the 25 squad? Good to see him play some at Coachella. Ben Bender, certainly a player that has remained a fan favorite over the years, despite, you know, a lot less playing time than you might think for someone that is so beloved by fans. But people just love him because, and I got theories on this. I mean, great name, great looking guy. Number one overall pick, you know, for a club that was their first ever and sort of, you know, not, this is not a slight, but many fans who decided to start following Charlotte FC maybe had not followed soccer or football before ever. And so they don't realize maybe that like the draft is usually not as big of a deal for soccer. And yet, so they get, oh, he's our number one overall pick. You know, it's like an NBA lot. Like this is like LaMelo Ball or whatever. So people just love Ben Bender for all those, and great name. I think that was my first point. I think I'm going to make it my last point again, because it's that great of a name.
Bring it home.
Yeah, great name. So, sure. And he's a good player. And he, like, I've expressed frustrations with him sometimes, the first touch issues. But the thing you got to love about Bender is that he's like always trying to do something. He's not a lazy player. He's not a, like, anyone that you would ever question what he's putting out there on the field effort wise and things like that. And fans really respond to that. That certainly is going to make him a fan favorite. I think he's certainly got a role to play. I don't see him projecting as a big time starter, and I could see him going out on loan again. He was loaned to Tampa Bay Rowdies last year. He's got some stuff to do to really earn a spot in the match day squad, but he certainly has a spot in this team.
I love how you've positioned this as like the kickabout opening of the TIFO's questions, Danny. And I agree with you about Bender, all those points that you made. But this is like, you know, Danny, when we go to training, Danny and I will go to open training and there'll be some media availability. We can get eyes on like the first 15 minutes of training. Like that's what this is right now. It's like everybody, these questions are exactly what the media can view during practice. Okay. And then we're going to close things off and then we're going to answer some serious questions. Okay. Yeah. So you've set this show up perfectly. Only the true TIFOs can hang out past the 15 minute mark when we really dive into the tough questions today.
I love it. Yeah. Will Martin, Trent Slagle are kind of like looking around like, yeah, it's time to get these guys out of here. The real stuff's about to begin for sure.
Yes. Speaking of Ben Bender, somebody that, you know, during those open training sessions was rehabbing all last year, a really nice guy and an approachable kid. He would always come over and chat. We'd ask him, hey, how's the recovery going? He'd be willing to answer those questions. And I think he's somebody that really is trying to work hard and understands his role in the squad. I wanted to add one more thing to why fans like Ben Bender, right? Is because when you go back and you think about Charlotte FC's, you know, their inaugural season and the second season and how difficult it was to watch this team, because you knew there was a little bit something there, but in retrospect, the roster was pretty poor. But Ben Bender was the guy that was getting it done, Danny. He was the guy that was banging goals. He was the guy that was making assists. He was the standout player in those first two seasons. He was one of the standout players in those first two seasons. And it's easy to forget that, but I think the tremendous friends of the show, the TIFOs who love this squad, know that Ben Bender stepped up to the plate in a big way as a rookie.
Instant impact guy. When he would sub in first, you can never take away first assist in Charlotte FC history against Atlanta he took the corner kick that Adam Armour headed home. Can never forget that. Mindy Bender, we met her in DC. What an experience that was.
Great soccer family.
Yeah, just an incredible soccer family, and we love him. I honestly think that he needs playing time to really become to maximize his potential as a soccer player. Still a young man in his mid-20s, so I honestly think if I'm predicting, a loan out this season for him to chance to really get the minutes that will help him elevate to become like an everyday MLS player. But we'll see.
Ben Bender, how old is he at this point is my question. Right around 24.
I would guess 26, but maybe I'm overestimating there.
23. He turns 24 on March 7th, right? And that's why I guess 24, 25, because if you're thinking about college, it's only been 3 or 4 years. He didn't stay in college until he was after 21. So I am good with the loan at 23/24. After 25, if you're loaning a player out, might be time to sell.
Yeah. 200 episodes in, and I'm still always guessing players' ages wrong. Some things never change on the Starlet Shocker show. So, all right. Media members, you're out of here. We're closing the gate. It's time to get to the real stuff. Dino has seen enough of people wandering around and, doing kickabout drills. So let's get to the most important question. And it was phrased in multiple ways. This is by far the most popular sentiment that was expressed from the TIFOs. And it's all about the man himself, Patty Ajimong. Can Patrick live up to the hype, says Ed Martin. The question is creation, says Corbin Payne. Rob Barnes, a great TIFO. How quickly will the front four, including Pat, gel and reliably produce goals? Are we finally ready to be a team that's a threat to score goals, says Andrew Simmons. And Oz just says, are we going to regret giving Pat the starting nine spot? I hope not. I'm wishing him the best, but it's all about Pat. It's all about goal scoring. And this team that had a problem at the striker position last year with consistent production, now all of a sudden we've got U.S. men's national team starter Patrick Ajimong in friendlies, but like a guy that is banging home goals for the red, white, and blue. What can he do for the crown in 2025, Johnny?
Shout out to Rob Barnes, who's checking in with us, a tremendous friend of the show. It's great to hear from you, someone that's been hanging out with us. Speaking about the first three seasons, now heading into the fourth season in club history. Shout out to Rob. I think he's been along for almost the entirety.
Love you, Rob.
Of the ride.
Here. Happy Valentine's Day, Rob.
So I want to address that first. How quickly will the front four, BL, Zaha, Abada, and Pat gel and reliably produce goals? Ultimately, for me, I see those four names, and I think they're going to produce goals. That's what's going to happen. It's not about we can rely on this front four to produce goals. And that's what's happened in this offseason, Danny. And we're going into the season for the first time, really thinking that there is a proven product up front. We know Pat can play well in MLS. We know Leo Labada has the pace to beat MLS defenders. We know Wilfried Zaha has the class and the ability to produce at this level in MLS. And Pep Bial is somebody that, in my opinion, is a bit of a glue guy. Speaking of Ben Bender, Pep Bial is the better version of Ben Bender, in my opinion. He's somebody that's going to really create and make things happen and provide some connectivity between those three players up front. I'm really excited about what Corbin talked about, the creation. There's going to be creation, for sure. And by the way, you talked about Ashley Westwood. I mean, we have somebody that can deliver a world-class ball as well. So not only can this team create from open play, but also can create in set-piece play as well. I need you, Danny, to address the elephant in the room here, which is that first question by Ed. Can Patrick Ajimong live up to the hype? Because there actually is hype around him this year for the first time. Real hype.
Well, Johnny,
not me hyping up this guy. There's actually everybody hyping up this guy.
Right. Do you feel a little bit, John, like the guy who discovered the band? Not that you were the first ever person. No. That's not like you were the only person. There were people around here, but you have got to get some credit for being one of the original Ajimong truthers. You've got the MLS commentariat out there who've sort of started to get on board in terms of Wiebe and Bogert and Doyle and all them creating, the Ajimong hive. Well, you're the queen bee, Johnny. You freaking created this hive. Like, And you like, I think it's great to see all these other people coming in who want to, you know, join into go to the concert of this band that, you know, you've been seeing since they were a bar band back in the day. And now they're getting ready to play arenas. And it's like, you've got a front row. You've had a front row ticket the whole time. So, as I mix analogies here between insects and, you know, musicians, I ultimately have to land on, I trust Patrick to live up to the hype. The guy's got just an incredible head on his shoulders. I almost said the kid has a head on his shoulders. He's not a kid. He's a guy. He's a man, and he is ready to, you know, step into his power and make it all happen. We've talked to him on the show, incredibly grounded individual, someone who knows the importance of family, community, cooperation. His game speaks for itself, and it's just a matter of, does he have the mental head to maximize his potential? I'll use that phrase for the second time this episode. And all signs point to 100% yes. I'd be shocked if he does not take yet another leap this season.
Since you mentioned bands and insects, there's a couple things I can think of. I can think of Ants Marching, Dave Matthews Band. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. I can think of Papa Roach.
Patrick might be the last resort for the U.S. men's national team for sure. Like, cut Polk's life into pieces, no doubt.
Oh, and there's one more that's like on the tip of my tongue. It's like, isn't there like a alien ant farm?
Alien ant farm, yeah. Yeah. Yes. Patty, are you okay? You okay? I mean, not to mention the freaking biggest ants, the biggest insects band of all, Johnny the Beatles, you know, ever heard of them?
Oh, my goodness,
you know,
so, yes. Yeah. Wow, holy smokes, what a miss for me. I went through the deep cuts. The Beatles were right in front of us the whole entire time.
Man. I'll send all my loving on this Valentine's Day to Pat, no doubt. He's the man.
He's the one. He's the one. Pat is, for sure. And is he going to live up to the hype? I think we're going to find out for sure. I think he's got the ability to do so. I think he's got to stay healthy. And I'm excited. As far as me, like, kind of like, as you talk about discovering Pat, I think it's not about that at all. And I wouldn't even compare myself to the national pundits. But what I'll say is this. This is how it works. And I can speak about it as somebody that used to work for The Athletic. And the way it works is that people that cover MLS on a national level don't have the time to study every roster and know who's coming up and know where the diamonds in the rough are. And that's not a they problem. You know, I'm not going to be critical of Wiebe or Bogert or Taylor Twellman or anybody at a national level covering MLS. I'm never going to be critical of them for not knowing kind of where the next players on are these rosters. What I'll be critical of is the lack of coverage of MLS city to city. I think, like, at a local level, these clubs do not get covered. We're covering this club. We were following Pat. We realized, holy smokes, this guy's got it all. And Mauricio Pochettino feels the same way.
Yeah. And I think Poch would have done his due diligence, and probably there's a good chance Pat was heading into the men's national camp anyway, based on his rising profile in MLS last year and starting 2 years ago with a goal against Seattle, by the way, speaking of. But it really helped that Tim Ream was on Charlotte FC, because Pochettino expressly went to go check out Tim Ream, who's been a starter for the U.S. national men's team, in a Charlotte game late last year, and got to see Pat eyes on and was like, okay, yeah, he's definitely in my camp. So shout out to Ream. I've been somewhat ambivalent on Ream, you know, in his whole time here, but obviously it's great having him on the club for sure. I got no beef with him. And we will talk about Ream a little bit more later, but I want to, because there's some questions about something that was a strength for Charlotte FC last year that we'll get to, but I want to get to a fun one here, playing off the whole, you know, Pat, will Pat live up to the hype? Striker, can we create? If by chance things go poorly for Pat or anyone, or Zaha doesn't blend, or Abada doesn't grow, or Pep and Pat in the pockets just doesn't deliver with the pizzazz that we saw last season, as Obi-Wan Kenobi told Yoda, Patrick Ajimong is our last hope. But as Yoda said, no, there is another. And that other is Brant Bronico. I mean, Johnny, the guy just can't stop scoring since he got his dad's strength. He scored in almost every game down in Coachella and in the preseason. Shout out to these questions here you see on the screen about Bronico, just all of a sudden the offensive threat.
If you're asking where have we been, we're doing an episode every week this season. Last week we did an episode with the Queen City Soccer Show. We did a season preview, and that was our episode for the week. So make sure you go check that out, because we talked specifically about Brant Bronico. This was before he went on his goal scoring streak this preseason. And shout out to Rev Burrell. It's great to see you. I know you're pumped for the 500 this weekend. Good luck.
And Brandon Davis, a great TFOS as well. There,
yes, he is. Question. Yeah, absolutely. I definitely
love you guys.
Definitely want to continue with that.
We'll see you guys
soon. Questions again, but shout out to you, Burl. Good luck. Hopefully, Hendrick gets it done this weekend for you, and y'all have a good time at the 500. And seriously though, when we're thinking about Brant Bronico, the 4-4-2. All you had to do was have two eyes to look at the way Dean Smith was playing at the end of last season, and it was like this: Roy Kent, the 4-4-2, and Brant Bronico was up top. And Brant Bronico is somebody that can be trusted to play up top, which is, I think, some people might hear that and say, like, "What are you talking about?" Just watch.
Just watch. Just believe what your eyes are telling you. I mean, let Bronny cook is the way the kids would probably say it today, right? You know, let him cook. Is that kind of thing? I don't know.
Yeah.
But he does good things. And shout out to Brant and Rebecca Bronico, who had their first child this offseason. That's why I mentioned the dad strength, and just very cool. Rebecca's been a friend of the show as well over the years. We always have a good time whenever we see her at Hot Fly. So love the Bronico whole family, just like the Benders.
Brandon Davis, BB13 MLS Golden Boot 2025. Serious question, though. I want to take that and say, like, Golden Boot 2025. I think there's actually potential for Charlotte FC to have somebody in the race this year. I know we talked about Enzo Capetti last year. He got some hype preseason. I think that was a bunch of smoke and mirrors. This feels realistic that whether it's Patrick Ajimong or Wilfred Zaha, I think there's some talent on this team. I don't know if the wealth is going to be shared, and meaning no one is really going to get up to 15, 20 goals. But double digit goals for both Pat and Zaha is something I think that's necessary. And depth at the nine, just to address that from CLT Takes, Charlotte FC does have depth at the nine. I think people think that it doesn't. What do you think, Danny?
I think, a name that will hopefully become more household name here in Charlotte. I don't know how much of a national profile he'll build, as speaking of the stuff you mentioned earlier, but Idan Toklamadi. Toklamadi came over and just went on an insane goal scoring tear for Crown Legacy last year, where he scored in like his first few matches, like braces in his first few matches, and just looked way too good for Next Pro, which is a great sign for Charlotte FC that he's now elevated to the first team. I think he starts the season as the backup striker to Patrick Ajimong. And that's a nice little depth piece. Toklamadi knows how to score goals, and he's also very young and in theory connects well with his countryman, Liel Abada. So that's a guy that I think a lot more people are going to become familiar with, a lot more in this fan base will become familiar with this season. I still think there is a question coming up later about, you know, adding a DP nine that Dean has talked about. But to start the season, I think we're okay relying on Pat and hoping Toklamadi can jump in there and score a little bit. Yuri Tavares, I think, is a guy who can play across all three of the front positions, either wing or striker. So that is a nice little depth piece. And, let me tell you a little bit about a little guy that has not even hardly been mentioned at all in any of the preseason talk that we've been going in recent episodes and whatnot. You know, shout out to the Queen City guys. It was fun to jump on with them last week. But I don't even know if we got into this guy in that discussion either. Kerwin Vargas is still on this club, you know, and he's not a striker per se, but I mean, you talk about attacking offensive depth. I mean, Kerwin Vargas is a guy who could start, and now he's being relegated to the role of support player. And that's pretty intriguing if you think about it.
And I just want to, you know, I agree. And there is depth. And hearing you talk that way, I said, yeah, it's not proven depth, right? And that's the difference. There's depth. There's just not proven depth. And I want people to start thinking about something. And this is how it can connect to the Brant Bronico discussion that we're having. Is that I do think that at some point this season, we'll see Brant play a false nine. I do think that. I think he will start at striker. I think he'll play in a false nine position. And I think the wingers, Leal Abada and Wilfried Zaha, will have a really nice time playing on the wing in that situation. But Brandt kind of taking up space and being a facilitator there and not really wandering too far into the box and playing in that false nine position could be interesting for this club.
Yeah, you've said it, that Brandt can play literally any position on the pitch save for left back. You know, the one time they put him at left back, he didn't quite deliver, but he could probably learn it if he really had to. Brandt Bronico is a soccer player. That's just all there is to it.
I mean, well, he's an MLS soccer player, Danny, right? Right. I think like what you're seeing is you're seeing somebody perform at the highest level in a league that he matches with. There's some players that come into MLS and don't match. They don't play well. It doesn't work. Brandt Bronico is MLS, 10 out of 10.
Yeah, he's an American soccer player. We love the kid. So, that's said as a compliment, even though it might sound a little derisive as I with the tone there. But so, look, offense, I think we're both agreed that in general, the offense is going to deliver a lot more this upcoming season than it did last season. The question will be, and what will make Charlotte elite, is if the defense can continue, because Charlotte FC quite simply had a top two, if not top one, defense in MLS last year. They had the goalkeeper of the year, Christian Kolina. But Kolina, I will always say this, and I've said it on other shows, he benefited a lot from Charlotte's system in 2024, forcing bad shots and being okay with giving up a lot of bad shots, like forcing opposing teams to take shots that were low XG and were, you know, easy for Kolina to make, you know, light work of. So because the defensive line was so coordinated and played so well together. So we got to get into a little batch of questions here about the defense, Johnny. What do you think?
Yeah, the defense for me specifically is something that we're kind of assuming is going to be good. And I don't blame people for doing that. Why wouldn't you? Right, you got a center back pairing coming back that people think is really strong. Shout out to our tremendous friend of the show and our tremendous friend, Daniel Brackett, checking in. Excited to hang out with Danny and Paige this season, getting ready for another run of home games on Mint Street. That's going to be really fun. But how will the defense fare, especially with the attacking pieces we've added? To answer that directly, I think the defense will fare really well. Now, I think that Tim Ream, Adilson Milanda, and Andrew Privet at the back with Nathan Byrne is very strong. And I expect it to continue to be strong.
I expect it to be strong. You know, these guys in theory will only benefit from having a full year of building chemistry with Ream. You know, Yere Yurinen is gone. Shout out to Yere. I mean, he signed my freaking jersey. So, I mean, that's how much love for Yere I have, as I asked him to, you know, sign my chest. But he's gone. He's not here anymore. And he might have, you know, you can make the theory, you can make the case that he was maybe the weak link defensively in the back line last year. I mean, Byrne gets burned at times, but his recovery is so great that it almost seems intentional at times. But there were times when Yere would get caught out of position, a couple of times specifically I think of where he really pissed Dean off by being way out of position and giving up back post goals. So, yeah, I think they can only be stronger with Ream cemented in as that starter. I do agree, though, that depth is an issue because, we're hearing lots of good things about Micah Thomas, the left back out of UConn that was drafted. You know, no one builds through the super draft like Charlotte FC.
What about Forbes?
Jelani Forbes is a player that they drafted last year who got some minutes, who is currently injured down in Coachella, and he's not getting as much as playing time as I'm sure he would like to be getting right now because he's been a little banged up, Dean said in the most recent press conference. Forbesy, he called him. Forbesy's a little hurt. So,
I think Dean likes Forbes.
Yeah, I think he does for sure. He likes him a lot more than anybody liked Hamadi Diop. Let's just put it that way. Shout out to Hamadi, who's now moved on to other things in his career. But yeah, I think Forbes has a chance to contribute. I was a really kind of my ears perked up a little bit a few weeks ago when João Pedro, who I have always talked about how much I love on this team ever since his Crown Legacy days, as a left-footed Brazilian back center back, left back hybrid who can take set pieces. I mean, who wouldn't want a guy like that on this club with also a very big, physically imposing frame? But he apparently was not so much in the plans this year, but they want to keep development. So he's already out on loan. Talk about Bender going on loan. João Pedro's on loan to a Portuguese club right now. And that's probably going to be good for his development. I would expect him to come back stronger after, you know, getting some experience abroad. But you lose, and you got a 39, 44, you know, 52-year-old Tim Ream at left back. Like, love you, Tim. Love you, Tim. But the depth is all of a sudden missing. I guess Mikey Thomas was that impressive in camp that they felt that they could give Pedro the chance to go to move over on a loan and play somewhere. But injury concerns do sort of hang over everything that's going on right now, because if Priva goes down, if Ream goes down, if God forbid Milanda goes down, there's not a ton of depth there that I feel comfortable with to replace it.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I'm not going to go down this road right now of like, what happens if Mickey Van de Ven and Christian Romero miss the entire season? Yes, you know what's going to happen? You're going to suffer from it. Like that's how this sport works. Like you depth obviously matters at every position, but if your best players get injured, then you play your depth and you sometimes suffer from it. It's really hard. This isn't Man City where you have just like a plethora of options coming out of your academy. We don't have any Middle East money for Charlotte FC. We've got Tepper money. But Tepper doesn't spend like
Tepper money doesn't spend quite so swiftly, let's say. Yeah,
exactly. So I mean, like when I think about this roster specifically, and I take a look at it, and I'm like looking for who could step up on the defensive side. I actually think that Diani is a player that could, in a very emergency role, play on the defensive side of football.
Ooh, you just gave me a brutal flashback to that penalty, but yeah.
Sure. Yeah, okay. I mean, I think that there's a lot of people that are going to hold him, like, be annoyed about the PK situation, but...
Granted, it was a bad call, but yeah, still.
Yeah. Other, you know, it's like, other than that, like, there's a Jack Neely who's not going to play. He's not going to be somebody. There's Bill Tuoloma. Bill Tuoloma wasn't mentioned, Danny. Jeez. Bill Tuoloma's still on this squad as well. So I would look at, like, I think from an emergency depth center back point of view, I think I look at Dabril Diani and I look at Bill Tuoloma.
Yeah.
So when you tell me, if you go like this, if you say we have our center backs are Tim Ream, Adilson Milanda, Andrew Privet, Bill Tuoloma with an emergency center back in Dabril Diani potentially. And I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I just think that that's a real emergency. So take him off the list. You have four guys. You have four guys that can play those positions, and that's a good thing. I think adding somebody is a good idea, and because Tim Ream can come inside and replace one of those guys at any moment, and that's huge. That's a huge win for this club, because then you just throw somebody else out there at left back. We'll see what happens. I'm not concerned about the defense.
Yeah, and Thomas has been playing a lot in preseason. So Dean Smith has mentioned that he still wants to bring in a left back. At his most recent press conference, he talked about guys he wanted to bring in. And I just wanted to clarify that I thought he was saying before the season started, but I posted that on social media, but I think it was actually by the summer. So I just right. Quick clarification there for anyone who's following us on social. But
let me add one more thing here about the defense. Christian Kalina plays defense too.
True. Very true.
He's coming off an award-winning season. Was named goalkeeper of the year in MLS.
Yeah.
That matters.
Kalina's key in the whole organization of the whole thing. When I talk about the strength of the defense, it's not necessarily any one player's individual skill, although they're all talented. It's the organization. It's the cooperation, and it's the coherence. And Kalina's plays a huge part in that. Coaching plays a huge part in that. Veteran mindset plays a huge part in that. And both Privet and Milanda are well beyond their years mentally. And then you get veterans like Ream and Byrne around them, and it's just a great,
great combination and great unit. So I think ultimately I land on, yes, Charlotte FC's defense may not end up, you know, top 1, 2, 3 in the league again, because it's tough to project that. But I think we're easily a top 10 defense without even thinking about it, and we'll compete to be one of the best defenses in the league again this year. That's part of why I have such high hopes for the club, as we'll get to shortly.
What's next?
Next up, this is just a question about who will take the big leap forward. We've talked a lot about that this year, but let's each pick one player on this question from Ted Polfeld, who's a great TFOS. We love you, Ted. Thank you. Give me a player who you think will take the big leap forward, and we'll go on record here. You know, no equivocations, no waffling or anything like that.
Nymphasha Berkimas.
Nympha.
Yeah, like this is his year for sure. Last year was a little too early, but I haven't sold my stock.
All right. Well, my answer is going to be Liel Abada. I think Liel Abada last year, 9-goal contributions, I believe, 7 goals, 2 assists. If I, you can, the TFOs can double check my math on that. But this is a guy who came from Celtic, where he was banging in goals and had double-digit goal seasons in the Scottish League, which I think MLS is actually a tougher league than the Scottish League, but Celtic is a big club and they play Champions League football. I think you could almost say Abada didn't quite earn DP status last year, and you know, there were so many factors to that. But now, I mean, look at this checklist, Johnny. I mean, he's here for the full preseason. He's not coming in, you know, midway through the first half of the year. He's got a full year to get settled in the United States. He's a year older. He turns from 22 to 23. There's a growing maturity there. And, oh, you know, let's not forget he just got married in the offseason as well. So his life is settling into a pattern where he has, like, sort of a base that he can just launch himself and put everything into his career and his football, which obviously any professional footballer is doing that at all times. But, like, I just feel he's so much more settled. This is a guy that I'm legit expecting – 15 plus, I'm expecting 20 plus goal contributions from Liel Abada this year easily. So, I mean, you double your goal contributions and really start to earn that DP contract and make a huge impact on the results on the pitch. To me, that's the big leap forward for sure.
Cool. He should. I mean, he's ready to have it. And I think all those things that you lay out there, they start to add up to success. I don't know what marriage has to do with it. Hopefully it's working out for him. And
well, it's just, you know, like when you're engaged, you're like, ah, you know, I got this wedding coming up. Once you're married, it's like, okay, we're married now. Like we go forward from this big event that we're not building up to anymore. That's what I mean to say with that.
Okay, cool. Makes a lot of sense. And keep an eye out for Nympha though, Danny. I mean, he's flying under the radar. He's somebody. Didn't he train with Manchester United this offseason?
Yeah, and if Nympha appears in 20 plus games, that is, and scores, you know, 5 goals and adds a few assists to it, that is an amazing leap forward for him at his age for sure.
Yep, that's the plan.
Love that.
And I think that, like, you can think about it in two different ways. Like each individual leaps forward in their own individual way.
Right, 100%. That's why it's such a great question. That's why we thank Ted for offering it. Here's another question. Thanks, Ted. From our boy Abram, another great TFOS. He has two. I know how you hate two-part questions, Johnny. So he says, y'all don't have to do both. So I'm going to take just the first question because there's another question about transfer targets later. So we can get into the transfer targets a little bit later. I love Abram's note here at the end of his question, though. Can't wait to listen. I see Charlotte Soccer Show. I click. And that's how it should be. That's how everyone should be, right, in this fan base. Like that, we really appreciate it. But favorite moment from the 2024 season, I'm going to pick a selfish one. I hate to I'm not trying to big time anyone here. I'm just trying to answer the question as honestly as possible. My favorite off-field moment is going to be the Ashley Westwood beer release party. Just that entire day was absolutely spectacular. You can go back and listen to our reviews of that in the archives, which you also should be going back regularly and re-listening to old episodes of Charlotte Soccer Show. Favorite moment at the stadium would have to be the May 11th game against Nashville, where I was lucky enough to be part of the coronation ceremony for my friend Paul Feinbaum, who was honored as the coronation.
That's a good
one. Got to be there with my girlfriend on the field pre-match and hanging out. And TFOS Hannah was there as well. And not something that everyone else got to experience with me. And I know soccer is all about the communal experience, but just when I think what was my favorite moment, that one just has to pop out. So, yeah. But shout out to the club for making that one happen.
Really, really cool moment that was. And I think it was really fun actually to like see y'all do that on that day. And it was fun to be with you at Hotfly as well. For me specifically, off field, well, in the building, I'll just say the Colombia-Uruguay game was absolutely insane.
Right. Yeah, that's a great one.
That was part of like my soccer 24. But when it comes to Charlotte FC, I believe it was it the game against Montreal, the second to last game of the season, when Charlotte FC was officially in the playoffs. They clinched it. And Patrick Ajimong scored a goal at 90+4. And it was just a beautiful step over goal, one on one, cooked him, smashed it into the back of the net, and Charlotte FC was headed to the playoffs.
Yeah.
It was a big, big moment, and the assist came from Brant Bronico as well. So that moment for me, that Patrick goal against Montreal.
I think we were sitting together, right? Was that when we were down?
No.
No,
no, right. That was
I'm thinking of the previous game.
Yeah, that was Carroll scored in that game as well.
But the stadium, the thing that what your moment speaks to is the growing sort of maturation of the soccer knowledge base of the fan base in general, because people were reacting to that playoff clinching and they knew what the goals meant and they knew what they were there for. They weren't just like, oh, we're going for the party. It was like, we're going to support this club and follow the story of this club's campaign. And and the reaction of the stadium and all that was absolutely tremendous for sure. Patrick Ajimong, king of the stoppage time goal lately, it's grown into that. That whole idea of him wearing down defenders and they can't handle him at the end is starting to prove out. All right, next question. This is the transfer question. Dean said he wants a 9 before season starts. I think that is a misnomer because of me saying that, me incorrectly incorrectly posting off Sam Spencer's question that he had asked about, you know, transfers. And I thought Dean said he wanted to get a 9 in before the start of the season. I think he is the summer transfer window is probably a little more realistic for that now, as we're 8 days out from week one. But, you know, we have the DP spot. If we have Aggie, but if Dean wants someone else, who's it going to be? Look, I don't know. I'm not Tom Bogert. I'm not Fab Romano getting paid by the agents, to post things. Not Tom, Fab. But I don't really know exactly who the real targets might be. But we can. My way to take on this question is to speculate, is to throw out like who's a dream signing? Who's your dream signing to come in? And, you know, I don't know. I'd have to think about that. I didn't prep an answer in advance, but like, John, you think Harry Kane is it time for Charlotte FC to bring in Harry Kane for a late run in his career? Or is he not quite there yet?
Well, he scored 73 goals in 74 matches with Bayern Munich. So I think he's going to be there for a little while longer. Like a dream number 9. Would be if he was healthy. Well, I don't have a dream number 9. It's tough right now for MLS. I do have a dream player though for Charlotte FC.
Hit me.
Somebody that I want to get. Well, it's not a dream player, but it's someone that I've mentioned over and over on this podcast. It's plays for Aston Villa. John McGinn. I've mentioned him on the show many times. He's due for MLS here in the next couple of years, and I think Charlotte FC would be a good landing spot.
Imagine McGinn and Westwood together as the double pivot in defensive midfield, just like instinct, like with their English upbringing, having played, you know, English style football for that long since they were, you know, tots. The telepathic communication between those two, I would imagine, would be incredible.
And it seems like he's playing really well. Don't get me wrong. And Villa's playing well, too. But it just seems like Aston Villa right now is at a place where they're spending tremendously. They did spend tremendously during this transfer window. And the reason why is because I think they're trying to make the next step. And I think McGinn will help them do that. But ultimately, if they want to win maybe they have to go a little bit younger at that position. We'll see.
Yeah. I'm going to throw out a little, my dream nine, to answer the question from Sal.
Yeah. But like, for what it's worth, he's not a nine. I don't have a dream nine. Let me just put
that. No. Well, I will throw a dream nine in there, and I'm going to keep it in Villa, and I'm going to, this is like pseudo, this is almost realistic, but not quite, but Ollie Watkins. Let's get Ollie Watkins over here to play the nine. Dean knows him. Dean loves to bring in players that he's worked with before. You know, the Jamie Patterson experiment, as we saw, didn't quite come off. But why not? I mean, Ollie Watkins is another player, like you said. He's not quite Harry Kane level, but he's not really looking to come to MLS necessarily. But hey, throw Tepper's money and his connection to Dean out there. Maybe we could get Ollie to come in and teach Patrick a little bit about class at the very top level of the game.
Let me be very clear about something. I don't want another nine on this team right now. So, like, the team doesn't need another nine. So
I like that. I like that take because, again, we've been hyping up Patrick, and we believe Patrick will live up to the hype. Do you think that we should spend a DP slot on a creative 10 to replace Pep in the front four? Or do you think it's time to, like, go after and try to get one of the best left backs in the world and actually spend a DP money on a left back? Someone, you know, Matt Target's name has been mentioned for Newcastle. You know, he's a guy that maybe not a lot of people in the audience know, but he commands a hefty price tag. He's been a stud EPL left back for years. Should Charlotte do the thing and spend money on a defensive player?
I don't know if they should use the DP slot on a defensive player. They should use the DP slot on whatever's going to make this team better. And a deal that is fair for both parties. Don't overpay. And if someone's going to make you overpay, say, talk to you in the summertime. We're good for now. So let's right. I'm down for the transfer talk for sure. But I know like MLS window's different, but in my mind, like the transfer window's closed.
Yeah. I just don't really follow transfer news as closely to say that I can speculate definitively. So I just like to have fun with it. You know, I still want Georgi Mihailovic like I did this time last year. All right, John, we're gonna hit the home stretch here. We're in stoppage time of our Tifo's question spectacular. And this is a great one from Adam Durbridge on Blue Sky. Random non-team related question. Do you have a favorite food spot in the stadium? I know it's all expensive and not that great, but sometimes you're running behind. You don't eat before the game. Where are you getting some food inside the fortress? And I know you, I think you have a special answer for this one, John, because you've told me about there's one food item that you like to get at Bank of America Stadium.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know the answer to this. We didn't prep for this. You were going to put me on the spot. It's the pupusas that are
bingo
right around the corner from the supporters bar. You can get beef or you can get bean. So there's vegetarian option as well. Sometimes I go for the vegetarian option. And it's right near the Dippin' Dots as well. So if you've got kids, if you're bringing kids to the match, the Dippin' Dots line is always the longest line in the stadium. So you can go over there, get some pupusas, get your kids some ice cream. And then, or if you're having an adult evening, there's supporters bars right there to get a nice ice cold beer. So it all works right there. I think in Bank of America Stadium, just for what it's worth, no matter where you sit, the best place in the stadium is the supporters bar. That there's not a better place in the stadium than that. When they redid the stadium and they put some money into it a couple years ago or whenever that was for the renovations for Charlotte FC, like legitimately the supporters bar is better than the club level bar. Just is. So do yourself a favor, hang by the supporters bar, get yourself some pupusas and enjoy the match.
I love it. Great answer. Bank of America Stadium expert right there. So this is a quick question. This is a double question from Andrew Simmons, who we saw earlier. Is Pat going to fully ascend to a new level? We kind of answered that already, but I took this for the second question. I put this up here for the second question. Zaha, insert any question here. We just don't know what this will mean for us. Zaha is the question. I don't know if you're an SNL fan. I know you watch SNL. I'm a huge SNL fan. And one of my favorite things they've ever done is the Kings of Catchphrase Comedy, the Kings of Catchphrase Comedy pre-tapes, where they sort of like mock like stand-up comedian tropes. And like Fred Armisen plays this guy whose catchphrase is insert joke here, you know, like insert joke here. So shout out to Simmons for insert question here. Really flashed me back to one of my favorite SNL traditions. And inserting the question here, I'm going to insert that question right now with our final TFO's question slide of the day, Johnny, which is Zaha 12 plus 12 goal contributions leading to Charlotte silverware from James Karen, and a friend, great, tremendous friend of the show, Matt Barbie, who says, is there already a trophy case at the headquarters big enough for all the hardware we are winning this year? Triple emoji trophy on that question. And I got to say, that's really what it's all about, is does Zaha, we've done this whole questions episode, we haven't even talked about the biggest signing in club history because we've been so busy like staring at Patrick Ajimong's goals. But Zaha, does he make Charlotte FC a championship team? That's the question.
Seeing Barbie's comment and having those three trophies there and realizing like, oh, this club could go for a triple, I actually realized that the club can go for a quadruple. Because of the way MLS works, that you can win four this year.
Supporter Shield.
The Supporter Shield is out there. So you can win four this year. Will they win four? Absolutely not. They won't. Do I want them to win four? Yes, I do. But if I were to kind of identify where Wilfried Zaha is going to help us most, I think that he will truly help us in very big matches, right? Here's how I would describe it. Patrick Ajimong needs to be somebody that can play all year, that can just gobble up minutes and enjoy it, and then want to go back for more. Wilfried Zaha, I think, can be somebody that Dean can really pick his spots. We talked about this on the last show. I said, let's have him focus on MLS to start. And then depending how that year's that league is competition is going, maybe he helps us in the League's Cup knockout round as well. I think that would be ideal. And then by the time this club ultimately gets to the MLS Cup playoffs, that would be ideal, that, you know, the club makes the playoffs, and then Wilf is somebody that can help this team win a championship. Yeah, that's the type of player he is. And he's a big match player, and that's what I'm looking forward to. I feel like it's the first big match player that we've had, somebody that can like own the moment, someone that's not going to hide in their shell. I'm curious to see how Wilf steps up in those big moments this year.
In other words, the anti Copetti. I like your analysis there. I think Wilf is the touch of class. He's just that touch of class. He's just that guy that, you know, has been there and done it at the very highest level repeatedly. Not that long ago, he's had a couple years in the career wilderness as far as kind of falling out of Crystal Palace and getting shipped off to the Turkish League and not finding, you know, a good attitude fit. And, you know, then he's shipped, loaned out to the French League, and he's, you know, not really having an impact there. But this is a chance for him to recapture that greatness that he showed for a few seasons at Crystal Palace. I think Dino is the right guy to get it out of him. I think Westwood is the right captain to sort of set the tone of how things are at this club and what our culture is. And I'm not trying to like be too culturally dominant in my analysis here, but like, he's an Englishman, and having, you know, coming to a place where there's a strong, it's a very British preseason, as Scotty Arfield told us last year. He's got Nathan Byrne, he's got Ashley Westwood, he's got Dean Smith. There's plenty of things here to make him feel comfortable despite being in a new country. And I just think he's a veteran, and he kind of has to know that if it doesn't happen here, it's not going to happen for him, I guess, anymore. So he has every reason to come out and earn, you know, the contract he's been given and all that. And I just feel, I'm just so optimistic about what Zaha will bring. I'd hate to have to eat these words midseason if things don't work out. But I just truly believe that Zaha, I've joked, you know, and I've talked to people, oh, MVP, MLS MVP, Wilf Zaha. I don't think that's out of the question. I don't think that's 100% a joke. It's mostly a joke because that'd be really tough to do. But if Charlotte FC is a top two team in the East, then there's a very good chance that Will Zaha is the MVP of MLS. We'll see.
The reason why Zaha could work is because
bingo,
Dino's at the wheel. He needs a manager with experience. He doesn't need a manager who has really never been at a high level like Dean has. So I think Dean's going to be able to manage him and his situation well. You saw them get together when he flew into town, and I think Dean was probably a big reason why Wilf signed here with Charlotte.
I agree.
What a show, Danny. What a show this was. Our 200th episode, an hour on the nose, answering all these questions. Paced beautifully. Had a great time chatting about this club. And, you know, hit me like a ton of bricks that that Charlotte FC is playing next weekend. I really have a hard time believing that right now. It's really exciting to think that we are embarking on match week. Number one.
It's match week. Insane. I mean, it almost is. Some people, by the time you're listening to this, it might be match week. And we appreciate all of you who do take the time to listen. For the last 4 years, it's been incredible. And we're going to keep going. Well, let's call it the last 3 years, but we're entering our fourth year.
Yeah, we are going to keep going. So it's been a pleasure to do this show. 200 episodes. We're going to keep rolling. Thanks, everybody, for your support. Make sure you follow us on our various platforms where you can chime in on the show. We'll be live at some point here on YouTube again, answering your questions live. But in the meantime, make sure you hit us up on X at For the Crown Baby. Make sure you hit us up on Blue Sky. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, Charlotte Soccer City. You can find our Substack as well. Maybe we'll start writing for y'all again this year as the season kicks up. And it's been a really nice build up, Danny. I feel like we've done some really nice content over the last month or so. Make sure you go back. Make sure you listen to some of the episodes we've done leading up to the season. And maybe we'll do a game-specific preview late next week for the TFOs and kind of hone in on Seattle. Maybe you can get a chance to talk to Dean and ask some questions about Seattle this week.
Well, I plan to.
He's Danny Brams. I'm John Hayes. It's Charlotte Soccer Show. Thanks so much to the TFOs. And as always,
for the crown, baby.
For the crown, baby.